Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina joined by my buddy George Kurtz. George, how's it going?
Good morning, Mr. Galina. How are you?
Doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Well, as you and I discussed pre-show, good morning are a contradiction in terms. They just don't go together. They don't. Sorry.
I like the mornings. You know, I'm more of a morning person than an evening kind of guy. I know you stay up to all hours of the night watching those West Coast games complete, right? You're more of an evening kind of guy?
Yeah, I'm definitely more of a night person. I am. Mm-hmm. The only good morning is when I'm still in bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a good morning. Right. And not that I have a problem getting up. I really don't. The alarm goes off, I get up. I may not be happy, but I'm not someone who hits a snooze button 18 times either.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Just want to thank you. Yesterday, you filled in for me at Fantasy Sports Today, and you guys did a nice little shout-out for my daughter, Nicole, who graduated St. John's yesterday. So we're driving to St. John's to get to the ceremony, and tell me, I said, put on the show real quick. And I heard you guys had at the opening said something very nice, and my daughter's like, do we have to listen? Leading up to it, do we have to listen to this? Do we have to listen? I said, are you graduating kindergarten or college? So just want to tip my cap to my, you know, it's like, you know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Come on. So tip my cap to my daughter, Nicole. Congratulations on her graduation, and thank you guys, and thank you for filling in for me yesterday. So good stuff all day yesterday. So big, big weekend, though, George. We've got this is a huge waiver wire weekend. Can you remember a time when there have been, you know, so many call ups at the same time of you know, fantasy viable guys? I mean, we're talking Keston Hiura, Willie Calhoun, Austin Riley, Nicky Lopez from the Royals, Brandon Rogers, lots of positional players that we're going to be bidding on this weekend. I mean, I don't remember in such a short period of time there being so many, you know, top call-ups.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you it's never happened before. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. But to answer your question, no, I can't remember one offhand.
Right.
No, I can't. It's going to be a wild fab tonight. You know, for those leagues that do it once a week. It'll be certainly a lot of thinking going on, a lot of money being spent tonight.
Sure.
In only leagues, I assume that maybe people are going broke tonight.
Mm-hmm.
In only leagues. I think that will happen tonight. People bid everything they have to try and get one or two of these players. I know people are going to love to ask, how much should I bid? That's really on your league. You know, it's always an impossible question to answer. I don't know your league. But with the amount of people going tonight, that can be good and bad. You know, there's strategy to this. Maybe you don't want to bid on the high guys, but on the lower end guys. You have a better chance of getting those. But they're going to be people who put in multiple bids, you know, mm-hmm. do a lot of ifs. You know,
yeah.
If I don't get this player, then this player, then this player, then this player.
Right.
My guess in most leagues that you're going to have to bid a substantial amount, especially with someone like an Austin Riley, you know, top prospect, who maybe got two home runs already. He's maybe going to supplant Inciarte and be a starter for the rest of the year. This would not shock me.
You're probably going to bid two homers.
You're probably going to have to bid a substantial amount.
Mm-hmm. You think that he's going to be the guy that's going to draw the most interest?
You never know. I would think so, though, an outfielder, a power-hitting outfielder. I would think he's going to draw quite a bit. He's a name that probably a lot of people know. You may know Brandon Rogers, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be the top name that you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to drive his price up.
Yep, natural third baseman. But I think just about a week or so ago, the Braves started starting him in the outfield. Ender Inciarte on the IL had been slumping all season. And so Riley called up and agreed with it. If he continues to hit, I think he's just going to stick in that lineup, no?
Listen, I think obviously he has to hit. Rookies don't get much wiggle room as far as slumping goes, and can he handle the outfield? If he starts making mistakes out there, that can change things as well. But we know there's no place for him in the infield. I don't see them moving on from Josh Donaldson, who's been okay this year. So I don't think that's going to happen. So yeah, assuming he hits, assuming he's not a trash can out there in left field, I think he sticks.
Right. Any other of these guys really stick out to you? I mean, to me, I think the guy that people might be sleeping on a little bit is Nicky Lopez. I mean, he doesn't have the power bat that some of these other guys have, but good contact hitter, above average speed, gets on base, which is good for somebody that you're expecting to steal some bases for you. Royals looks like they're all in on him in the way that they've moved Whit Merrifield to the outfield, and they're going to be giving Lopez regular starts at second base. But to me, he's a guy that some people might be sleeping on from among this group.
Listen, he does have interest to me for speed-wise, maybe just steal a couple of bags here. That's something that I'm always looking for. Once again, it comes down to team need. What do you need? Do you need a second baseman? Do you need a middle infielder? Do you need speed? Do you need a category? Are you looking to fill a position? Or are you looking to fill a category? Mm-hmm. It's May 19th, so I'm probably still going for best players overall here with an edge towards position. That's why I expect Riley to be that person that goes for the highest money tonight. Because I think if you're all the guys you mentioned as far as being available tonight now, I think you're just doing a draft, a regular snake draft, Riley goes first. Mm-hmm. Or certainly at the top. So therefore I expect him to be spent the most money on because it's May 19th. If we were July 19th, where you're really more looking at categories to hit more than the best player overall, this could be a little different here. But I do like Lopez. I do. And you said it perfectly. They moved Merrifield pretty much out. You're in the outfield full time now. Mm-hmm. They want this Lopez kid to succeed. It's a small sample size. He's batting 300 so far, so good. I like Lopez as well. He'll be another guy I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the rest of them. Keston Hiura, 5-tool potential, playing second base. Travis Shaw, who struggled all season long, he's on the IL, I believe, as well. Batted 163. 266 on base percentage, 281 slugging percentage. I don't know what happened to Travis Shaw. I don't know if it's just underlying injuries that have caused them to really slump like this. But, kind of being redundant here. But if Hiura could just, get some good at-bats here, show that he could, hit the ball, I think he's going to keep this job.
Hitting the ball is generally a good thing. Now, he is one of their better prospects.
Maybe they're
a top prospect. The problem is you're going to say he's going to keep the job. So what are they going to do with Shaw? Are they just going to axe him? I don't know. That's a problem for me. Before I bid a substantial amount, what are they going to do? So I think here's another guy to be short-leashed. Yes, if he's hitting, okay, they're going to go with him. I don't think they're going to remove him if he's hitting. But his rope on a slump will be short. So that's the slump they'll put Shaw back in there. Shaw starts to hit, then guess what? Shaw plays. Right. So that's the problem. I don't know if you're going to get him long-term or be able to play full-time. You just don't know. You hope. Mm-hmm. We're all hoping, but we don't know. So that's going to be my issue with here is that you don't know what's going to happen here when Shaw comes back because there's a veteran that's going to be pushing him, a veteran that's been productive as far as last year. Inciarte and Riley is a little different because Inciarte wasn't very good last year either. I would be a little bit worried about here, even though he's a fine, good prospect. The player himself is fine. If he had a job, I'd be very interested in. But I don't know if I'm going to be blowing my fab on him.
Right. Now, in terms of player control, let's say if one of these guys is up for a couple weeks and gets sent back down, does that count towards their service time? With the Super 2 and all that?
Yeah. The Super 2's gone, so they don't have to worry about that. Actually, it's May 19th. I assume it's gone at this point. Mm-hmm. There's no way of knowing. There's no set date. It goes by how many the amount of players called up during the season. The union, they haven't announced that if it's passed. I'm not sure if they know yet. Right. I assume it's passed.
You would think it has. A lot of call-ups.
Right. There have been a lot of call-ups. I assume it's passed, but I can't tell you for sure, no.
All right. Willie Calhoun, been a top performer in the minor leagues, big Dodgers prospect, traded over to the Rangers. And previously when he was called to the bigs, he struggled. So far, doing pretty well. Rangers have stated that they're going to give him a significant amount of playing time for the near future. What are you thinking about Willie Calhoun?
Well, Calhoun's another guy, right? I think he came from the Dodgers, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
We know in the Yu Darvish deal, he can hit. You know, we know he can hit. Can't field. That's an issue there. They're going to stick him in the outfield and pray.
Right.
You know, that's...
Initially, he was supposed to be a second baseman, but you're right. His defense, they put him in the outfield.
His defense is, you know, let's face it, he's a goaltender playing wherever he plays. So that's going to, that could be an issue. Maybe he's adequate. You know, maybe they can live with his deficiencies. Think of Kyle Schwarber. You know, that sort of player out there. Can you live with the, you know, missed time fly balls every now and then, not getting to some balls you expect to be caught? You know, Texas is a big outfield, that sort of thing. Can they live with that? Yeah, you know, he's really a DH waiting to happen. DH that probably should have happened by now, but they already got that in Chew. So I'm curious to see, because I think this guy can hit. If you need power, that'll that could play as well here. Like all these guys, there. I mean, Calhoun, here, these guys can they can hit, they can play the game. The problem is, but here is Shore pushing him if he's not hitting well, and with Calhoun's going to be defense. What happens there? To a lesser extent, he's almost very similar to Riley. You know, an infielder pushed towards the outfield. So we see, you know, they're making mistakes. That tends to be very glaring. If they're mistiming fly balls, they're getting, now getting over their heads or in the gap because they missed it. They're missing balls in front of them that the pitchers feel they should catch. You know, that sort of thing. So we'll see what happens here. I do have more faith in Riley than I do Calhoun.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you compared him to Kyle Schwarber. Hopefully he is a little better than Schwarber. I mean, Schwarber has shown that he has got the power, but the batting average hasn't been there, man. He's batting 220, 228 for his career. So, Brendan Rodgers, you know, we've been following this guy for a little while. Power bat can hit for average for the Rockies. To me, the scary part is, you know, the Rockies in the past have been a little inconsistent with the way that they've been using their young players in terms of, you know, getting them at bats. So that's a big thing for me. I think he's batting 125 to start, but you know, very, very early in his career. But he's also been a bit injury prone in his career. That's another thing to take into consideration. But what do you think about Brendan Rodgers? Some thinking that eventually he could take over as their everyday second baseman. Is this the time, or, you know, you think that's going to be an issue with him getting regular at bats?
Yeah, I mean, interesting. He's probably the top prospect in Colorado. All right, he's crushing the ball in their minor league system, but that, it's a great hitter's advantage there. At one time, they were thought that he would be the shortstop of the future, not Trevor Story. So that makes you think about that. Now they moved over to second base because Story's a star. You had a man there, Hamster. I mean, everyone's there, and now he's taking over because of some injuries. He's got a shot. And he's got us that we expect him to hit because it's Colorado, right? So certainly a boost there. Does he keep the job? I think it all depends on his performance. I think that's really what it comes down to. If he's hitting, playing well, yes. I don't think McMahon did anything to separate himself from anybody else. I don't. So and McMahon can play some first base, but it's a roster crunch here. This is why I didn't understand the Daniel Murphy signing. I never will.
Right.
You know, because this sort of caused all this. Now you don't have a place for McMahon. You don't have really a place for Rodgers. Desmond's misplaced in the outfield. I mean, it's a mess. They have a lot of square pegs and round holes that they're trying to fit here. So I think it comes down to performance, though. I don't think this is a team that can really dictate it by anything else. You play, you pay.
Right. And as you mentioned, I mean, you know, people ask us, you know, what kind of bids should we put in? I mean, I think what's the first thing that you could do is first of all, look at your needs, right, on your team. Then another thing, you got to look at, you know, transaction history of your league recently, right? I mean, you got to see what kind of bids have won, you know, particular bids. I mean, you know, what's a good number on like someone who's highly sought after? So, I mean, there's really no easy answer, right, George?
No, that's not, because it's every league is going to be different. In only leagues where these guys are available, they're going to go for a high price. Some people are going to break, especially for Riley. Some people are going to break the budget. break the bank. Let's go. Let's go for broke and bid everything. They're not going to wait for a trade deadline. I hope somebody comes over from the, you know, if you're in NL only league, hoping somebody comes over from the American League and vice versa. So that's what's going to happen tonight. It's going to be a wild fat. But you need to look at your transaction history. How many guys, let's say you're in a 12 team league. How many guys pay attention? There'll be guys who still have $100 in their budget who just haven't made a move all season long. I'll assume they're going to be pretty quiet. Now, guys who are way out of it, probably not going to do much. You know, but if you got, if your half your league is involved, then tonight's going to be expensive. I don't think you're going to get anybody for cheap. I don't see that. You're going to have to bid a substantial amount. You really are. And I would, like I said, I would do ifs all over the place. But if you can't get this guy, then you can get this guy. All right. Unless you're bidding 100, every one of your dollars, and you know you're going to get the guy, I would make sure you have a lot of backup plans because I think they're all going to be bid on heavily tonight. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Wild, and it's going to be a very stressful situation. I know in a couple of leagues, I'll be doing the same thing, writing down on paper, okay, what do I got to do? This league, how much for this guy am I going to bid? You know, am I okay? Do I just want to put in competitive bids to make sure the guy doesn't go for cheap? I'll be doing that, too. I'll be price checking, price enforcing, just to make sure that Riley doesn't go for, you know, $8. I may put in a bid for 12, even though I know he's not going for that, but I want to make sure he's going for a price that I can live with.
This is in leagues where you have a $100 budget, of course, those numbers. So, but definitely great advice from my buddy George Kurtz. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back with more baseball. We'll even talk a little Game of Thrones. Series finale tonight. We'll be back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. No, we're not at the Copa. Broadcast emanating out of Studio 34. Fantasy Sports Today. Joglina George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince Sean Engel, directing our show, keeping us flying straight. Thanks for joining us today. And we were talking a little bit about the wild waiver wire weekend that we're going to be a part of. I'm sure everyone's going to be looking to add some of these top prospect ads that came up this week. We're talking Keston Hiura, Willie Calhoun, Nicky Lopez, Brendan Rodgers, Austin Riley. Question for you, George. All these position players being called up, how come any theories as to why we haven't seen any of these top pitching prospects called up as of yet? Like you got Dylan Cease, Zach Gallen, everyone's looking for from the Marlins, even the Mitch Keller from the Pirates.
Well, part of the reason is, like I said, we don't know for sure the Super 2 has passed. All right, we think it has, but the clubs may not know for sure. All the teams you mentioned, I mean, Marlins are not going to take any chance of calling anybody up. You know, they're going to want to make sure they have the extra year of control. So there's no reason for them at all to rush this, so that's not surprising. I think with pitching, they're also going to be careful because there'll be an innings limit involved here. You know, so when he calls up, can he pitch? You know, do you want to control that limit in the minors? I think that plays a part of it as well. And now, you got to get on a case-by-case basis. Is there a need on the team? Is the guy doing well, or is he proving himself in the minor leagues? Everything plays a part of it. You know, no doubt service time does. And you play that game. You go case-by-case basis. I mean, the only reason, when you think about it with Houston, right? We all wanted Forrest Whitley. We were all wondering when Forrest Whitley would get called up. I know I was. I drafted him in a couple of leagues. Figured I'd hold on to him, deep prospect. He's pretty much their top pitching prospect. But when they needed somebody, well, they didn't call out Whitley. They called out Corbin Martin, maybe their second best pitching prospect. Why did Martin get the call over Whitley? Whitley wasn't pitching well in the minors. Maybe he's pitched poorly. So once again, that's what happens there. You know, and a lot of teams believe that you have to, unless there's an absolute team need. You know, everything went wrong. The Yankees, for instance, who had to call up pretty much everybody because of all the injuries. You need to prove yourself in the minors that you belong there. And Whitley, mm-hmm. in this case, hasn't proven that yet.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And Astros have another positional player that everyone's looking at as to when he might be called up. Yordan Alvarez. So, I mean, you know, if you miss out on the players this weekend, you know, it's not over, right, George? There's still players that are going to be called up before season's end.
Oh, absolutely. This isn't over. It's only May 19th. Mm-hmm. It's just been a wild week where we keep wondering, okay, who's next?
Right.
This kind of top guy, who's next? You know, it's going to be fun tonight. It truly mm-hmm. is. It's going to be aggravating, too, when you don't get, you know, oh, my God, I bid 80% of my fare, but I still didn't get the guy. I know you're going to be mm-hmm. hearing that all week, you know, because there's somebody in my league bid everything. Yeah, there'll be people like that that want to mm-hmm. assure they get a player. I can guarantee it's going to happen. It's going to be frustrating if you don't get who you want.
Right, absolutely. So another big thing going on this weekend, George, Game of Thrones series finale. What'd you think about last week's episode? There was a lot of opinions out there. There's actually, I saw this was a petition where I think at least a million people signed the petition for the show producers to just do this whole last season over.
That's cute. It'll mean nothing, but that's cute. Sure, they're going to call everybody back. But these actors and actresses have been done for months upon months. They're already on other projects. Uh-huh. All right, you're not gonna get Kit Harington to be able to come back, Emilia Clarke to be able to come back and reprise their roles. That won't happen. One thing that's going to happen, we have to remember that it's not George R. R. Martin's doing this anymore. He's just the writers doing it. They're ahead of the books, and Martin's already said this is not my vision. You know, mm-hmm. my books are going to be different. I imagine when Martin is done with his books, that there'll be another Game of Thrones, season 8, about mm-hmm. how he. If they think it'll make money, of how he believed it should go. Once again, it won't be with the same actors and actresses. It won't be. They'll be done. But there'll be another somewhere. I don't know if it'll be HBO shows or whatever the hell, on TV, cable, whatever it might be. But there'll be another Game of Thrones show somewhere with Martin's vision of how it should have ended. I don't think I have any doubt about that. But listen, it was pretty wild last week. It was. I didn't really like it all that much either. But, hey, it's a storyline. Well, you know, she ends up becoming the Mad Queen and all that. Intriguing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she does the smart thing at the boats, which I still don't understand how she's riding a dragon high in the sky, how she doesn't see the Armada. Right, and warn us, listen, it's a trap. Don't go that way. We're gonna get crushed. All right, I don't get that. I don't understand that at all. And even if she does see it, she has to know, well, maybe I don't go straight at them.
Right. But the previous week, their arrows took down the dragon right away. This week, the dragon got a little smarter, right? I don't know if she could actually steer the dragon, right? But
it was weird. I mean, it was just very strange about how there's a lot of plot flaws. Mm-hmm. In what happened in episode 5. Like, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. How did they know that what's-her-name was taken hostage? You know, how did they know? Did someone get a cell phone call? Mm-mm. I mean, did someone call the Queen of Dragons and go, hey, we got her? Because wouldn't you just assume she drowned in the boats? I would have.
Right. Yeah, like I said last week, maybe there's a raven. That was sent.
Raven, no. I don't get it. Why didn't the Armada finish him off? They mm-hmm. had him dead to rights. When, when Tyrion's up there, parlaying with with Cersei. Why didn't Cersei finish him off? She hired a hitman to do it. She had 8,000 mm-hmm. arrow men out there. Could have ended him right in front of her. It's what she wanted. But yet she lets him go. And I didn't understand any of that. Last week, Jaime going back and forth. He's a good guy, a bad guy, good guy, bad guy. And now there are rumors, by the way, that he's not dead, that he's alive, mainly because of what's going on in social media in real life. Obviously, it's real life. I don't think they had social media in those times. But that he's still alive because apparently the actual cast, whenever it's someone's last show, they put up a big thing on Twitter saying, goodbye, love you, great job. They haven't done that with the actor who plays Jaime Lannister. So that maybe he's still alive. Well, it could be once again they haven't gotten around to it. Or the producers say, hey, don't do this. Let's keep people in guessing here. There's a lot that could be here. But some people are speculating that Jaime Lannister actually survived the castle falling on him. Hey, mm-hmm. who can't mm-hmm. survive that? It's just a castle. You'll be fine. walk it off.
We are partly a gambling network, and there's lots of odds that you could bet on in terms of who ends up surviving and takes over the Iron Throne. And Bran Stark at minus 350 is the favorite, George, followed by Sansa at plus 450, Jon Snow at plus 750, even Tyrion Lannister, character played by Peter Dinklage, plus 750. So a little gambling, a little aspect to tonight's show.
There is. And there's a lot of things you can bet on the Tonight Show. Once again, who's going to take over the Iron Throne? Who's going to kill Cersei, kill the Mad Queen?
You know, right.
It's fun. Once again, it's
Jon Snow, minus 300 for that, who will kill Daenerys Targaryen, Arya Stark, plus 450. If no one kills her, plus 750. You know, there's a bet where you could say she survives. So,
and she might, although I have a hard time believing that, knowing this show. Yeah. I think she's going to have to go. My thing is this. I don't know. Arya, right? Arya was she was in the prophecy by the Red Witch.
Yeah.
She said Arya would kill somebody with green eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We assumed that person was going to be Cersei because Cersei had green eyes. Well, that didn't work out. Assuming Cersei is dead, she doesn't kill her. Well, guess who else has green eyes? That would be the Mother of Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have the same character, Arya, kill the Night King and the Mother of Dragons? I don't think so. I don't think they'll do that. So,
I don't know. They might.
I don't think so. I think they'll go with a different character. I do. Mm-hmm. I'm looking now on the site I use about all the people who could sit on the throne here. Gendry plus 800. Jon of Daenerys' baby. I brought that up. I don't know if it was you or Cam. I forget who. But I wonder if that's going to be the eventual ruler. They'll find out she's pregnant.
Hmm.
Brienne of Tarth survive +20,000.
To actually give birth to that baby, if there is a baby.
Yeah,
my opinion, I think that Jon Snow eventually is going to be the one to kill Daenerys Targaryen, the Mad Queen. But he has said he doesn't want that throne, right? So I think it goes to Sansa. So Sansa plus 450, I think I would take that. So Sansa, right? And then you figure Jon Snow, maybe he'd take the Jaime Lannister role where he rules the Queen's armies. And maybe Arya could be like the Queen's Hand.
But Arya doesn't really like her with Sansa. It could work out that keep it a Stark friendly, sure.
Mm-hmm. It could, like I think that's full 360, right? Where the Starks at the start of the show were, Ned Stark got his head chopped off. They were run out of town and whatnot. And then all of a sudden they end up on top at the end. What does our buddy Sean Engel think?
Apparently he doesn't.
No.
Apparently he doesn't. Well,
who do you think? Do you have a prediction for the ending, George?
I do like happy endings. The Starks take control is interesting, what you just said.
Yeah, Sansa, she really has developed into a strong character after all that she's been through. So
she has. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at which Stark will die first? Arya, Sansa, Bran? Will Tyrion Lannister survive? Who will perish first? Jon Snow or Bran Stark? There's some interesting stuff here that you can certainly play with tonight. Listen, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't watched the first five episodes of the same night. Generally I watch it a day or two later. And I'm able to avoid
stay
it on
off of social media.
Tonight I'll have to watch it tonight, though. I know that
mm-hmm.
it'll be talked about too much. It'll be too easy to say, "Oh, she died. Oh, she's on the throne." So I will watch it tonight before I go to sleep.
Right.
But it's a good show. I'm disappointed it's ending because there's really not much in my mind appointment TV anymore. Shows
right.
you want to watch. You can't wait to watch. I know I just got done watching Bosch on Amazon Prime Video, a show I've enjoyed. And that's
okay,
one of those shows.
Never heard
I like
of that.
Top shows.
Oh, okay.
It's Titus Welliver. It's an actor I kind of usually plays a bad guy in most things. And this guy, show, he's a good guy. But I like him as an actor. He's something I enjoy watching as an LA cop show, and I think it's a pretty decent show. Mm-hmm. So I've been watching that over five seasons. But other than that, there's nothing else I'm dying to watch. Even Walking Dead, when it comes back in October, it won't be like must-watch TV for me anymore. The show's going off the deep end. I'm sort of wondering how it's just going to end. So just disappointing.
Yeah, but we've invested so much in it, right, that you know you almost have to see how it plays out, right?
Well, you're curious. I mean, we know I'm, when it comes to Walking Dead, I'm curious how they're going to make Rick Grimes, who's apparently going to do movies, mm-hmm. that he's still alive. He's still alive, but he's not trying to get back? How are you going to make that work?
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, he's, yeah.
What, does he have amnesia? I mean, I just don't see how that's going to work where he's not trying to get back. His daughter's there.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he's built, he's going to just walk away from that? I'm very curious as to how they're
going
to make
that work.
Last we
saw, he like washed downstream, right? And it was picked up by like another group or whatnot. But you're right, like, you know, maybe there's an amnesia angle to this, and that's why he never got back to them. But who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But we'll see what happens. But hey, wanted to mention yesterday, you guys did a great job. You had Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News talking about the Jets, and we could talk about that just for a couple minutes as we head off to commercial with you know, Mike McClanahan, you know, being fired as the Jets GM, and Adam Gase kind of like taking over the Iron Throne of the Jets. kind of like a, you know. But my question is, and you guys did a great job with the interview. It's you could hear it online and on demand. But how do you think Adam Gase and Lev Bell, what do you think their relationship is going to be now? I mean, Bell said, look, hey, even if reports are true, because basically like Adam Gase, supposedly, according to the reports this week, he wasn't happy that the Jets had signed Bell and wasn't pleased with the amount of money that they signed for him, even though when you think about it, that was kind of like almost like a a bargain, right? But Bell said, even if the reports are true, and that being that Gase is not a big fan of his, that won't stop me from doing what I came here to do. Everyone has a job to do, and I'm going to do mine, whether people like me or not. I'm here to win football games. How do you think that relationship, how could it play out?
Well, I mean, what Gase is saying is that, not that he doesn't like Bell, but he doesn't like paying for a running back in his system. He believes lesser running backs can do the same thing. He'd rather pay for something else. Yeah, whether it be a lineman, you know, wide receiver, whatever it might be. Apparently, the Bell signing was driven by ownership. Wasn't even driven by the GM, I think, again. It wasn't. It was driven by ownership. Chris Johnson wanted him, went out and signed him, and really directed the GM, hey, sign this guy. Yeah, when you have no choice under that circumstance. I'm sure the GM tried to talk him out of it, saying, hey, you know, the coach doesn't want him to feel he needs him. That's when you know, when you have ownership is a problem. You know, that's when you got to understand football. If the coach doesn't want that player, not going to fit his system, then don't sign the guy. It doesn't make any sense. You know, that being said, that's not on Bell. You know, and Gase is going to have to make the best of a bad situation now. Because Bell can say all the right things, which he has, but he's not showing up, right? He's not showing up to the voluntary stuff, which, yes, mm-hmm. according to the CBA, he's perfectly allowed. That's fine, but you know, you don't know your blockers yet. You don't know your blockers, so you don't really know the offense. You would think you'd want to go there. You would think the Jets, before they signed them, would have said, hey, part of this deal is you have to. Well, I guess you can't say you have to. It's in the CBA. But we really, really, really want you to show up. Mm-hmm. You know, and for him not to show up automatically, I mean, it shows you he's doing his own thing. I'm sure he'll be productive. You know, but Gase now has to, once again, fit this into what he doesn't want to do. And if it's costing him another player, this is the one part where I think Gase is fine. If he doesn't fit your system, I understand it. Then they have to go around this guy's system. You shouldn't have hired the guy. Well, you should have let him know in the first place, listen, we're going to hire you, but we're going to sign Bell too.
Right, right.
You know, we want Bell for whatever, you know, ticket sales, good PR, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. You know, then everybody's on the same page here. They're not on the same page now. And now it came out publicly. It's got to be a little awkward, Joe. It's got to be a little awkward for Bell knowing he's playing with somebody who didn't want him. Maybe it'll work out well. Maybe Gase will adjust now. He'll do the adjustment because of what happened, but it has to be a little awkward.
Right. And like you said, you know, Gase has been famous for basically, you know, almost like a running back by committee. You saw the way he had used Jay Ajayi, and Kenyon Drake really wasn't used in the way we fantasy players would like him to have been used. But now, looks like, is Gase going to be the guy that chooses the GM? Because he's acting GM now.
I mean, he's going to be in on the process. He's going to be in on the process. So I would say yes. It'll be closer to a yes, man.
Yeah, Jets ownership is scary. All right, when we come back, break down some of what went on in baseball yesterday. Go back to football a little later. Fantasy Sports Today and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Believe that 1999 is like 20 years ago? Prince, ask us to party like it's 1999. You listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Goleta, George Kurtz, Ron Engel producing our show. 1999. Remember Y2K, George? When, everyone was afraid airplanes were going to be falling out of the sky, computers weren't going to be working. I remember I was working for a brokerage firm, and they had us sitting at our desks, trying out our computer, making sure that we were able to log into the systems that we used, making sure that, the Y2K wasn't a problem. You remember all the fear associated with Y2K?
Well, you said I was a banker at the time, and same thing. I think I was an assistant manager, and I had to be at the bank. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want same deal. Make sure the computer systems were working, which they were. Everything worked fine. Nothing mm-hmm. freaked out, and went home shortly after midnight. Was it on a Friday night? I don't even remember what night day it was, but
I think it was over a weekend or something. Fine. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I did think it was a weekend. Yeah, I don't think it was a work day because I don't think I had to be up early the next day. So mm-hmm. Everything worked out fine. It was no big deal for us.
Yeah. Thankfully. So, 1999, 20 years ago. I don't think that he recorded that song in 1999, but we'll double check, I guess. But Prince, R.I.P., one of the top performers of our generation. Right? Some might like him, some might not, but I happen to think he was a super talented guy. But we'll see.
I was never a big Prince fan. I've grown more to appreciate him now.
Yeah, whatever
it is, but mm-hmm. I mean, when doves cry, makes me cry. that's when Purple Rain. I'm not a big fan of, but I do like some of his other tunes. Probably, I actually like his less popular tunes more.
Right, Little Red Corvette.
That's I don't mind that. Raspberry Berets are
right.
1999 is fine. I don't mind that either. Mm-hmm. But I don't. There's not one song or one album that I love of his. But I do appreciate mm-hmm. the talent.
Yeah, he definitely was a talented guy. All right, so let's start breaking down some of what happened yesterday and what it might mean to the future of your fantasy teams. Washington Nationals beat the Cubs 5-2. This game is actually under protest, George, where Cubs manager Joe Maddon was protesting the way that Doolittle was tapping on the mound, taking issue with Sean Doolittle's delivery. Sean Doolittle, by the way, picked up his eighth save, but I'm sure nothing will come of it. But Joe Maddon just, being Joe Maddon. Steven Strasburg, eight innings pitched, seven Ks, gave up a run. He's 4-3 on the year. Nationals obviously have had their issues. They've been slumping. I mean, the loss of Bryce Harper. I mean, do you think that was a huge loss? I mean, they really didn't win anything with him there anyway.
First, when it comes to Joe Maddon, good luck with that protest, buddy. Let me know how that works out for you. I'm sure it's already been denied. So nothing's going to come of that. I think part of that was just to try and get Doolittle off his game.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing games when you try and do that sometimes, and that didn't work out either. So I don't expect anything to come of that. And sorry, what was the other question? I've gone brain dead.
About Bryce Harper, the effect of the loss of Bryce Harper.
I mean, this team struggled on offense at times, even with Harper, and you gave him a low ball offer. You know, it was $300 million, but it was deferred money forever. It was idiotic. No one was going to sign that. So you pretty much said leave. He's probably overpaid. He's nowhere near close to Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, someone like that. He's not. I didn't understand him signing in Philadelphia. I thought this might have been the worst place for him to go, as far as, you know, the fans are going to crush you. Yeah, if you're doing well, they're going to crush you. You know, and now as soon as you start to fail, and he's been starting to fail, striking out a lot or missing a lot, swinging and missing a lot. Mm-hmm. And he's providing free air conditioning there. You know, the fans aren't going to take that, especially if the team's not doing as well as they expect, as the fans expect them to do. So it's going to be rough for Harper.
Very streaky.
Opt-outs. Yes.
Right? Leading into this season has been a very streaky hitter. Entering Saturday's action, that covers 32 games, was batting .186 over those 32 games, 3 home runs. Got off to a real hot start with the Phillies. The Phillies fans were going nuts over him. But now they're booing him. 32 games, 3 home runs, batting .186. The surprising number for me is the .314 OBP, because this guy, even when he was slumping mightily with the Nationals, and like I said, very streaky guy, he had that OBP over 400. So that .314 OBP, a little concerning to me. But that being said, we'll get to the Phillies-Rockies game. But yesterday, 2-for-3 with his 8 home run. But that .314 OBP, that's a little odd for Harper, isn't it?
It is. There's not really an excuse for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He stayed in the National League, stayed in the same division. So nothing's really changed. Right. You're playing in a better ballpark, arguably a better lineup. So, you know, there's not a lot going on here. You can use it as an excuse here, other than trying to live up to the contract. You know, and squeezing the handle of the bat a little too hard, that sort of thing there. Ultimately, I think Harper's going to be fine. You know, I do think in future years we'll realize he's no longer a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, he's not that kind of player. He's more of a second, third-round guy. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that either. I think the power will be there. I think by season's end he'll have 30-plus home runs.
Oh, yes.
I'm not worried about that. But I think it's going to come as an average hit, Joe. And that's concerning, because it might be a considerable average hit. And I am worried somewhat this guy's going to morph into Joey Gallo. You know, hit 35, 38 home runs, at bat 220, 230.
Mm-hmm. Joey Gallo's actually doing better than that. He's not the 220 hitter anymore, at least this season. But it is a legitimate concern. I agree with you when it comes to Harper, that he could be a drain on your batting average. But so sticking with the Nationals, though, any concerns over Max Scherzer and what he's been doing lately? I mean, 3.72 ERA, 2-5, had another kind of, wishy-washy start the other night. But here's a guy, 34 years old. When I look at his numbers, I mean, the velocity's still there. Nothing really that really says, wow, this guy, he's ready for a free fall. But gave up 4 runs in 6 innings in his last start Friday night against the Cubs, 8 strikeouts. But any concern over Max Scherzer?
Man, he's 2-5. The top overall pitcher, DeGrom's not doing much well. If it wasn't Scherzer, then it was DeGrom, the top overall pitcher here. 3.72 ERA, 1.19 WHIP. Those numbers are definitely higher than what they usually are here. Strikeouts are down a little bit, 87. He's got more than one per inning, but we expected slightly better than that. I'm looking at the advanced stats. What's the difference? You already mentioned the fastballs, the velocity is the same.
Yeah.
FIP is about the same, so it's not really his fielding. Now, his ground ball to fly ball ratio rate is actually higher. Generally means more ground balls. That's generally a good thing. Home run rate is down. K to walk is actually up. This is all good. So what's going on here?
Bit of more hard hit contact, but not enough to really make you say, wow, let me walk away from this guy. He's almost like a guy that you're not going to really be able to buy him too low. But, is he a guy that you would think, hey, based on what I'm seeing in terms of his, predictive stats, that he's a guy that's eventually going to just figure it out again?
the only number that's significantly higher than past seasons is his BABIP. And you meant the hard hit rate's not very significant. The BABIP is .365. Generally, he's in the .250 range.
Right.
So that's significantly higher, which means there's some bad luck here.
Yeah, yeah.
Balls are balls are finding gaps, which does play into the hard hit range as well. Obviously, they're hitting the ball harder, better chance to find find grass. So that's my thinking there, that it's just more bad luck than anything else. So, hey, if Joe Galina has Scherzer and you want to sell me Scherzer for 80 cents on a dollar, I'm buying. I'll buy 90 cents on a dollar. I'll take a chance on Scherzer. Everything points to me that just a slow start, a little unlucky, he'll be fine.
Right. And when it comes to the Nats and the way that they've been slumping, part of it's got to be the problem is that bullpen as of Friday night, 6.2 ERA, like the worst bullpen in baseball. So Brian Dozier also has been slumping. He actually hit a home run yesterday as well. Juan Soto, 2-for-3 yesterday, but before that he had been slumping. So I think it's a combination of problems that the Nats are having.
I would agree. The bullpen's a dumpster fire. Right, it has been. It always seems to be their bugaboo, and they don't really do enough to fix it. Now, maybe they'll go after Kimbrel when he. No one's going to sign Kimbrel now until after the amateur draft on June 3rd. Might be June 2nd. I'm pretty sure it's June 3rd. So no one's signing him until after that. All right, you can wipe that off your memory bank. It's not going to happen. There's no reason for a team to give up draft pick compensation when 2 weeks you can sign him for free. Well, not free, but no compensation, just the money. So Kimbrel's not signing with anybody. Keuchel's not signing with anybody until then. Maybe Washington makes a run at Kimbrel. You know, it would certainly help that bullpen. Certain teams, we see it every year, they ignore the bullpen. You know, it's sort of like, we'll figure it out. The bullpen is so important nowadays where starters, a lot of teams don't want the starters going through the lineup more than two times, three times at max.
Right.
You know, then you want to get the guy out of there and give the offense a new look. So we'll see. What happens here, I don't think he'll go at Washington. Braves are going to be interested. Milwaukee, I think, will be interested. He'll sign with somebody. But with Kimbrel, I wonder, will he sign with somebody to not be the closer? I think that's the key there.
Right, right. On the Cubs side, Anthony Rizzo had been dealing with a back issue, 0-for-3 overall. 0-for-3 yesterday. Overall, .245 batting average, 10 home runs, 29 runs batted in. Just, you know, before the season started, we had talked a lot about how, you know, the first base position in fantasy was kind of weak. So I just took a look at some of the numbers across the league in terms of first baseman. I mean, is Rizzo still considered one of the elite first basemen? I mean, I'm looking at, you know, the list of top first basemen as per Fangraphs and the stats. I mean, first of all, Josh Bell, we talked about him last week, another two home runs yesterday, 14 home runs, batting well over 300. I think he's like 331 right now. Freddie Freeman, still elite. You know, Pete Alonso's had a nice year, obviously, 14 home runs as a rookie. I mean, are there that many elite first basemen anymore, and would you consider Anthony Rizzo one? I know he usually heats up in the second half, but what do you think about the whole first base position in terms of, you know, one or two guys that might stick out at you is either, you know, climbing the ranks or dropping in the ranks?
Yeah, I think when it comes to Rizzo, you say a couple things there. One, it's early yet. I mean, people are all panicky. It's May 19th. The weather is just now starting to warm up a little bit, you know, with the ball travel further. So give it some time. Relax. Mm-hmm. Is Rizzo an elite first baseman? Well, it depends on how you look at it. Is he elite? No. Is he elite of what's in Major League Baseball this year? Yes. This is not too many good first basemen. We knew this going in. This is not a surprise.
Right.
You know, I knew this going into the year. This is going to be a weak year for first base. You know, this wasn't all that many. We didn't even know Josh Bell was going to, a light bulb was going to go off for him.
Yeah.
And how great he's been. But it was a weak year for first base. So that really can't surprise anybody. That first base was going to be a shock here. You know, Abreu, Goldschmidt. It was a problem position going in. You know, I knew in drafting, I was very aware that first base was going to run out quickly. And then I may have to make some adjustments for that reason. Maybe I want to move up and draft the first baseman earlier than really I had planned because of what was going on here. You know, so I don't think I think the bottom line is if you're stuck at first base, you really don't have anybody but yourself to blame. I said we knew this going in, Votto's bombed, right?
Yes.
Votto looks done. He just looks done. Freeman's great. You know, Goldschmidt has been up and down, but he'll be fine. Cody Bellinger's been fantastic. You know, and then it gets a little dicey when you think about it. You know, I said Votto, I think, is done. Matt Carpenter's been...
4 home runs, 8 RBI, and we're a quarter into the season. I know it's early, but, you know...
But he was bad last year, too. That's the problem. You know, there's a continuation. Right. You know, Jesus Aguilar was terrible for a while. Encarnacion's been okay. Miggy has been bad. Joey Gallo's been very good. Hosmer is what he is. Muncy's been solid. He doesn't play every day. Carl Santana is doing what he does.
CJ Crone.
Crone, the funny little thing, the ground ball. It was a ground ball to the pitcher. He's playing the first base. He didn't realize the ground ball was to the pitcher. Pitcher threw the ball to him, almost hit him in the head because he didn't know. He thought the ball went to second base. I was like, weird. I've never seen that before. Were you paying attention? You know, you go deeper at first base. Gurriel, Smoke, you know, these guys have been blah. Matt Olson's now back from injury. That'll certainly help there. Mancini.
Yeah, that's qualifies. A definite help.
That'll help. Mm-hmm. Alonzo helps. That sort of thing. Luke Voit. You probably – it's funny. If you didn't draft the first baseman low and you didn't get your Freeman, your Goldschmidt, Bellinger, Rizzo, and you waited until late, you probably have much better value. You might have ended up with Bell, obviously. You could have ended up with Olson now that he's healthy. Luke Voit, guys who are doing well here. Alonzo, if you took a shot at him. The value there at first baseman was late, not taking the guys in the middle and hoping, those veterans, hoping that Miguel Cabrera was going to have a bounce back here. Jesus Aguilar. I think Matt Carpenter will be fine again, but you're eating it right now. Hosmer offers you very little fantasy-wise. Ian Desmond, blah. So it's
Christian Walker. I mean, I know just 8 home runs, 23 RBI, but giving you more than what you expected at Diamondbacks first baseman.
Yes, he wasn't expected to be there. Wilmer Flores, and that didn't work out. And it's nice. That's why you got to watch the waiver wire. That's why you have to watch the waiver wire. If you're weak at first base or had a dead position, when he first came up, you could have gotten him for a couple of bucks. He was not the kind of guys that are going tonight. Where there's no one going for a couple of dollars. But he's the guy you could have plugged him in or just kept him on your roster, see what was going to happen, and eventually plugged him in. There are a lot of interesting first basemen. The problem is it's a streaming position right now. Guys you're going to like for a couple of weeks, then you're going to want to move on from.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say, you mentioned with CJ Cronin, that's pretty comical the way you described it. But 12 home runs, batting 270. I mean, a guy in comparison to what you're getting out there, might not be a bad deal. I mean, I know he's not available on waiver wires. I mean, he's widely owned, but it might be somebody to look at, in a trade, a moderate. You won't have to give up too much. But first base, like you said, I mean, if you're struggling there, then you didn't do your homework in pre-drafts.
Yeah, I mean, we knew this coming in, so I don't feel bad for anybody. And I have problems at first base in most leagues. I picked up Josh Bell in a couple of leagues, and that's working out. Josh Bell, the light has gone on. He's figured it out. He looks like now he gets annoyed when he doesn't get a hit, which is what I love when batters are like that, because they expect to do well.
Absolutely. Okay. And now the Lone Ranger team theme takes us out, but that doesn't mean our episode is over. We're coming back for a second hour of Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.